Good morning. I hope, as we have been working our way through 1 John, I hope that has been an encouragement to you. I would like to use that word in a biblical sense. I expect that this study has been, but I'm not going to be that presumptuous. It is my wish, it is my desire that this study has been helpful to you. The thrust, the focus of John's writing in this epistle is that we might have a deeper and more fulfilling walk with or fellowship with God. You can't have that fellowship with God if you don't know what's involved. Chapter 1 spends time telling us we need to be free of sin. We need to acknowledge our sinfulness. We need to acknowledge the fact that we have a problem with it and that God is the only one that can deal with it. In chapter 2, we saw a wonderful truth there in the first couple of verses of the chapter. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, I don't like to deal with cliches. I don't like to use buzzwords that don't mean anything to the majority of people anymore, but I'll be honest with you. Verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 2 thrill my soul. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not just ours. What Jesus did on that cross was sufficient to provide salvation to every man that has ever drawn breath, every woman, every child, every teenager, every person on this globe. Jesus paid it all. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And with that statement in verse 3, we find him setting the tone for most of chapter 2, and you're going to find it's pretty well true throughout the whole book. Our fellowship with God, or lack of it, is going to be directly related to our relationship with the Word of God. No man can have fellowship with God who is ignorant of the Scripture. I'm sorry, it cannot be done. You may want, I know people that, okay, fine, well and good, you know somebody who's a real nice person. Is he having fellowship with God? No. Not if he is ignorant of the Word of God. Not if he is, now you can't be so narrow. Yes, I can. You don't know me very well to know how narrow I can be. You say you sound like you're bragging. No, it's just a statement of fact. I am as narrow, or as broad, if you choose to look at it that way, as the Scripture. And so should you be. As we have moved through chapter 2, we've seen some wonderful things. We've also seen some very pointed things. Love not the world, verse 15. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John has left indelibly a trademark throughout this book. And that is one of plain speech. He will not let you think better of yourself than is warranted. He says, if you say you haven't sinned, you're a liar. Say you have fellowship with God and you don't walk in the light like he does, you're a liar. You say you love God and don't love your brother, you're a liar. And you'll notice here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. Doesn't make any difference what you say. He just lays it right out there. Now, whether you like it or not, you must acknowledge this is what the Bible says. You'll notice as we have moved through this chapter, in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Now, in the last broadcast, I barely got shut off before I was out of time. I hate abrupt endings like that, but sometimes I just not paying attention to the clock. I hate the clock. Don't like time. But when eternity rolls around, there'll be no more need for teaching and preaching, I don't suppose, and so therefore, I suppose on one hand, time is my friend as well as my enemy. Because as long as there's time, you have opportunity to bring your life into conformity with the Word of God. As long as there's time and a need for preaching and teaching, as long as the Lord gives me breath, I'll do that. But there's coming a time, my friend, when time shall be no more. And eternity stretches out as far as what? The eye can see? We're limited, aren't we? How do you deal with something that is incomprehensible? These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 26. He has emphasized why things are the way they are. He has emphasized the work of Christ. He has emphasized the Word of God. He has emphasized the need for separation from the world. He has talked about why people leave the church. He has talked about the importance of the Word of God. And he said, I have written these things unto you concerning them, or in connection with them that seduce you. Those that, now notice, them that seduce you, they're doing it. It's not a matter they're attempting to do it. They are doing it. Now, backsliding is not an instantaneous thing. Backsliding takes time. It occurs over a period of time as you go ahead and live your life without much consideration to the Word of God. You find things become habit. Habit becomes boring. And the next thing you know, though you have a form of godliness, your life denies the power thereof. And the next thing, well, you're pretty tolerant of the attitude of others and, you know, live and let live and do the best you can. And that kind of philosophy has replaced, has been substituted for the Word of God. And the next thing you know, we're near the truth. The effect of others cannot be denied. The effect of those who have denied the faith on those who still hold the faith cannot be denied. It may be manifest in anger toward the mutiny and the treachery, the desertion of those who one time you looked at as being soldiers of the cross. It may be in sorrow. It may be, I wonder if maybe I haven't been too hard-nosed. Maybe I should let up a little bit. Maybe I should be a little more tolerant of the views of others. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But, verse 27, the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. It remains in you. You will notice the ETH on the tail end of this verb, abide. But the anointing which ye have received, that is past tense, received of him abideth, habitually and continually remains in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Everything he said here, you know, don't you? You who have gone to church, if you've gone to anything other than just some sort of religious playtime, if you've been studying the Word of God, there's little here that you haven't been exposed to before in chapter 2. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing continues to teach you, as the same anointing teacheth you of, or about, or concerning all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Notice this anointing, the unction in verse 20. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, all right. This anointing which ye have received of him abides in you. It is something that is ongoing. It is not, woo, it wore off. Wow, what a buzz, but, you know, it fades out. I need another dip. Nope. the anointing which you have received of him. My friend, you can get an emotional rush. You can get something from somebody, and it fades. It's gone. Why do you think so many of the charismatic churches, those that deal on the fringes of extra-biblical doctrine, why do you think they have to have so many church services? Oh, it's because they won't stay close to the Lord. No. Back up. The reality of it is they've got to keep the feeling hot. They do not have the anointing within themselves that abides with them to the point that it's self-sustaining. They got to be continually pumped up. You hear it in music. You hear it in the same old preaching. Pump up, pump up, pump up, pump, 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 pump. How do you feel? How do you feel? Don't you feel this? Emphasis on feeling, my friend, is no substitute for the knowledge, the sure knowledge of the Word of God. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you, notice please, this is not a static, this is not an inactive thing that you have received. It teaches. It habitually, it continually is teaching you concerning or of all things, about all things, and is truth. The more a person reads the Word of God and studies it, the more he allows the Holy Spirit to teach him and to apply the Word of God in his life, the more you find that that Word is applied to every area in your life. Teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide. You shall continue to be present in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, notice it's not if he shall appear, when he shall appear. John expected him, along with all of the early church, they expected him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence, free and fearless confidence is in the contextual use of that word in the Greek, that we may have free and fearless confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming, at the parousia. The Word of God. The connection to the Word of God. The connection to the Word of God, the teaching, ministry, and influence of the Holy Spirit, you will notice, is able to make you to be able to appear before him without being ashamed. Now, there's a lot of people who say, oh, I'm going to walk right up and shake the Master's hand. Usually that kind of an attitude, you will find if you check up on the life, is said or is held by an individual who has a very low understanding, a very poor understanding of the holiness of God, a very poor understanding of who and what he is, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, once again, it's time to sign off. Stay in the Word, my friend. As you apply the Word of God and as you allow the Spirit to apply it in your life, to live what the Bible says.